Recovered Baptist Church, a church on the way to God's heart, presents a message for your life. Get ready and take notes, because God wants to speak to you today.
When Brother Freddie read from Psalm 107, it left me hungry for that phrase. His loving kindness endures forever. His loving kindness endures forever. His loving kindness endures forever. It is repeated so many times in the Word of God. His loving kindness endures forever. Do you believe that? That God is loving like that. Alexandra, he never stops loving. Isn't that amazing? His loving kindness endures forever. What a beautiful thing it is to know that God loves like that. And of course, Valentine's Day is coming. You may have plans to go eat, to get flowers, to get chocolates and candy and chocolate-covered strawberries and all that other stuff that people do. But, that's fine. That's good. Expressing love to the ones you love, especially when it comes to the marriage and the loving relationship between a man and a woman, it's a portrayal of God's love. It's great. When I remember the days when, as children, we used to send cards to one another in school, right? You used to buy a big pack of big box of cards and just give cards to everybody. And I remember the first card I got that actually said, "I love you." And with a present from a girl. And it was like, whoa, in third grade. My goodness, what did I know about love except mom and dad? And sometimes my sister and my brother, sometimes I love my siblings, But getting a card in third grade from a girl that said, "I love you," with a present and all, I wasn't so surprised. I was playing with you. Because I knew this girl was watching me. Because I was watching her. And I brought her a present too. And our loving relationship lasted the whole day. I don't know what happened February 15th. We kind of forgot about it. But we were in third grade, thank God. But that's pretty cool. Kids giving cards to each other. I don't know if they do that anymore. They just Instagram, text, Facebook, TikTok, and all that other stuff, right? But it was fun. But when we think of the love of God, is it that pleasing also? Is it that great? Yes, it should be. Should he give you the butterflies? Yes, it should. But more than that, God's love is so profound. God's love is so high, so wide, so love lasting forward from eternity past. It's just so amazing. God's love is described in the Word as agape love. Now, we have talked about what agape is in the original language, in the Greek, and agape is a love that is benevolent and is selfless. Not selfish, but selfless. A love that is simply giving even if they don't get back. God gives. Now, does he expect you to give love back? Of course he does. God wants you to love him back. When you love, don't you want to be loved back? You do. God wants that. But even if he doesn't, he still loves. Do you do that? That's a challenge. Because when I'm not getting love back, sometimes I'm like, you ain't getting none from me. Right? We fail. We fail miserably, Billy. We do that, don't we? We're like, I love you, but if I don't get nothing in return, I don't know if I'm going to keep on loving you. Right? So, but that's not what God loves is. God's love, as I put in the title of this message, is a love that never fails. Love that never fails. This is a love that you can count on. And God was motivated by love. And he still is. And he did it. And his motivation took him to what we know as John 3:16. Have you heard about that? For God so loved the world that it prompted him. It just made him. He just couldn't hold himself. But to what? To love us in this manner, that he gave his only son, his only begotten, the only one he had, that whoever believes in him, what? Will not perish but have eternal life. His love took him to the cross where he shed his blood. Wow. His love is such that he sacrificed his son. And we're going to talk about that in a sec. You see, and what it shows me, and this is not in your outline, but you may want to take note of this, that even though God loves us this much, his love does not require us to be worthy of receiving it. Did you get that? You're not worthy of God's love. I'm not worthy of God's love. We're not worthy of God's love. I'm not qualified for God's love, to receive his love. If I want to look at myself, my sinfulness, how hypocritical I can be, and how bad I make decisions, and how my thoughts run wild, and how my heart gets discouraged, and how I lie to others and myself, and how I do the wrong thing when I want to do the right thing, and I deceive myself and others, I'm not worthy of his love when I think about it that way. But yet, my worthiness is not what qualifies me for his love. Thank God, amen. What qualifies me is that he is love, period. That I need loving, that I need him to love me. And he does. You see, God's love does not require you and I to be worthy. Only he is worthy. His love is truly benevolent and selfless, like I said at the beginning. He is. Romans 5:8 says that God demonstrates his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You see that? He loves, he sacrificed, we sin. We're not worthy, yet he still loves us. Thank God. Have you been trying to earn God's love? Have you ever tried, AJ? It's worthless. You can try all you want to, but he just loves you. There's nothing you can do to make him love you more or less. He just loves you, period. You know, let's just think about this, and let's go to 1 John chapter 4 and verses 7 through 21. The Bible says, and I'm reading out of the New American Standard. If you have a different translation, just bear with me. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. By this, the love of God was manifested in us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this, we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his spirit. We have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. Amen. We have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. God is love, and the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. I know that's a lot of abiding there, but we're going to check it out. By this, love is perfected with us. And in us. You want love to be perfected with you and in you, so that we may have confidence in that day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in this world. You see that? Oh my God, that's deep. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fears, because fear involves punishment, and the one who fears is not perfected in love. We love because he loved us first. If someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For the one who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment, there you go, we have from him, that the one who loves God should love his brother also. Wow. That's a lot of stuff right there. I want us to think of this beautiful and perfect love. So, where does love come from? Okay, let's start there with the simplest question. You see, love comes from God because God is love. Okay, John said that. Did you get that while we were reading? I hope you got it, Sylvia, because it's there. It's simple, right? You know, love comes from God because God is love. You know, simple as that. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God, in verse 7. And verse 8 says that the one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Once again, love comes from God because God is love. He initiates the loving. And since true love is part of his nature, because he is love in his nature, he is the source of all love. He is the initiator of any loving relationship with us. Any love that we have for God is just a response to his initiating act of love through the sacrifice of his Son, Jesus Christ, for us. See, God is love. This means love as we know it simply started with God, not with you, not with me. Think about it. Before there was time and space, there was love. Before there was anything created, there was love. And you may be thinking, wait a second, if there was love before creation, if there was love before the universe was created, who was loving who? How did God manifest his love if there was no one to love? Well, guess what? His love is eternal. His love doesn't have a beginning or an end, because if God is love and he doesn't have a beginning, he doesn't have an end. I can't explain that. But then his love must be eternal, everlasting, from eternity past to eternity in the future. You see, I want you to think that when we think of God's love being everlasting and in the future and eternal, that's kind of easier to digest than to think, well, God is eternally past, you know, eternity past. God has always been, so love has always been. That's a little bit more difficult to get, because who was he loving? Well, God was loving himself. And you may think, well, that's selfish. That's not right, you know, love of self. You know, the Bible never says to hate yourself. You got to love yourself. You just got to love your neighbor as yourself. Amen? The Bible doesn't say to hate yourself. The Bible says to love yourself. Problem is that we love ourselves before we love anybody else, including God. But God was loving on himself. Why? Because God was not in isolation. We know that God is a triune God. He is the Father. He is the Son. He is the Holy Spirit. They're loving on each other. God, the Father loves the Son loves the Father, the Holy Spirit works it all, and he's loving, I mean, everybody loving. God has been loving from eternity past. He is, and he never ceases to be. Therefore, if he is love, then his love never ceases. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 8 says, love never fails. Love never fails. And then in verse 13, it says that faith, hope, and love abide. These three, but the greatest of these is what? love. You see, we can say then that love comes from God because God is love. So this love, what do? So where does love come from? Let me think about this and let me tell you. The only way to truly love is by being born of God and knowing God. That's what it says there. John says, you know, you are born of him and you know him. Now remember, when John is writing this letter, he's not writing to everyone. He is writing specifically to people who believe, the born again Christians of the time. And he's speaking basically to the church. He's speaking to you and me who believe. Now, of course, my job is to make sure that this spoken word also is understood by those who have not been born again and those who don't believe so that they might believe. See, it comes from God. We already know that love comes from God because God is love. He's a source. And, you know, there's no other way, you know, unless it comes from God, then there is no love. You see, I want you to think about it. Everybody loves. Everybody loves. I mean, Adam fell in love with Eve, right, at the beginning. Woman, woman, wow. Bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. She mine. And I'm going to name her. I'm going to claim her. Right? And then you see love stories in the Bible. And then you continue to see love stories and love stories. And people falling in love. Well, they say fallen. And yeah, sometimes you fall when you, anyway, right? But I can look at some of you here and I could probably say that you're kind of loving on each other. You know, keeping your arm around her shoulders and stuff, right, Louise? There's a little love going on right now, right? Stuff like that. I can tell, you know, and some of you may not be holding hands right now, but maybe you're really close. And I know that if you look at each other right now, right? Look at that. Oh, my God. She can't even look, Jay, because she's like, oh, she's blushing. Right. Come on, Marilyn. It's okay. We know you love each other. It's okay. You can make it public. So when you think about that, you know, it's a good thing. But love comes from God. We're all capable of loving. Every single human being is capable of loving. I mean, I see people in the way they love one another in marriage. I see people now the way they love their children, right? I see people the way they love their pets. Oh, my God, Shannon's smiling over there. She's like, yay. You know, it's funny. We can love. But I think John is talking about a love here that it's a step above, right? Because he's talking about coming from God. You see, God gave you his image. When God created humans, he created man and woman in his own image, capable of loving. But capable of loving the way God's love? Now that's different. We may be able to love the way we love in this world, but we need the Holy Spirit. We need God. I'm sorry, I'm getting ahead of the message here. In order to love the way God loves. You see, we're able to love, but our love is not fully grown to its potential until we know God, until we are born of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God, the Bible says. Born of God, this means being born again. We know that Jesus told Nicodemus, after Nicodemus came asking all these questions about the kingdom of God, he's like, well, you just need to be born again to start with. You must be born again. This is not me telling you. It's Jesus telling you and assuring you that unless you're born of him, you cannot love like him. Unless you experience the power of being reborn in Christ, unless you come to being transformed and regenerated completely in the power of the Holy Spirit by God's love, you cannot love like God loves. Do you get that? I hope you understand. You cannot love like that unless you are born of God and know God. That's when you can love like God. The fullness of God's love. I mean, you think of the way you love your children. If you have children, I mean, you come to love them to where no matter what, you are willing to give up your life for them, even if they're wrong, because they're your children. I mean, you just can't fathom as a parent that someone would harm your child, and you say, I'll take my child's place any day, any time. Yeah, of course we do. We're willing to give up your life for our children. And then, I mean, our heart beats with this true love. You still fall short. Did you know that? Even when you think of the deepest love that you can have for your child or for your spouse, you're still falling short of God's love. Why do I say this? Because when you think of the way you love your children and willing to give your life for them, turn it around. God's love. God's love. I want you to understand, we think of God's love that he was willing to give his life for us. Well, yeah, in his son. Think about it. God is not just willing to give his life for his children. He is willing to put his child through death for you and me, who are not his children. Wow. You see how it comes back around? We are willing to give our lives for our children, but God is willing to give up his only child for you and I who are sinners. That's the love of God. It's totally the opposite of what we think when we think of love. Now let me ask you, would you give up your child for me? I don't think so, and I don't blame you, because I wouldn't give up mine for you. Right? I mean, am I right? If I'm right, somebody say amen. Because I feel lonely up here. I mean, if you're willing to give up your child for me, whoa. I don't think so, and I don't blame you. Who would, right? But I want you to think of that and think, God said, yes. Yes, Rocky, you're a sinner. You're not worthy of my love, but I'm going to give up my own child, my only child, for you. So love me back. Wow. I'm going to give up my own. That is way too much. And unless you know God for real, and unless you've been born again of God, you cannot understand that in its fullness. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love, in verse 8. Now let's continue, because where does this love come from? We know it comes from God, but yet once we're born again in Christ, we're capable of loving like God. And even at that, we fall short. Because I just told you, you might be the best Christian I ever met in life. You might be the one whose face is shining on the West Bank. You might be the one that chariots of fire might come pick you up soon. You might be the one that just disappeared because you walked with God and disappeared off the face of the earth like Enoch. And yet, you might not be willing to love like God, especially when it comes to a sinner like me. Wow. But we are capable of loving like God. And guess what? It's okay. You don't have to worry. God is not asking you to give up one of your own for me. God is not asking for that. God is not asking me to give up any one of my children for anyone, because he gave his own for you and me. Amen? Wow. So what does love do for us? What is it? What love does for us? Let's think about it. It makes full payment for our sin. We're forgiven and redeemed. Wow. In verse 10, it says, "In this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be propitiation for our sin." He was the one who went to the cross and paid for our sin. Propitiation, he's the payment for us. That is called redemption. You see, when you redeem something, redeeming means that you have paid for it and you're going to pick it up. You're going to go get it. So in the cross, Jesus paid the price for you and me, and he's coming to get us. We have been redeemed. We have been set apart for him. We have been taken and overtaken by his love because he paid. Someone had to pay, and God gives us a choice. God says very clear, you either pay for it, you pay for your sins if you want to, but it's going to cost you your life, and it's going to cost you eternity in hell to pay for it. As a matter of fact, you will never end the payments. Your payments are eternal. You will never cancel the debt. You will continue to pay and pay and pay and pay for the rest of eternity in hell for your sin. But guess what? If you want to, my son already paid for you. He became the payment. And it's done. It's finished, he said. And you can count on his payment. Now, if you want Jesus to pay your account before me, trust him. Take him. Believe him. Allow him. Surrender. I mean, that is why we say you must believe, you must confess your sin, you must repent all the time from this pulpit. Why? Because he paid the price for you. You owe it to him to surrender. And the most beautiful thing about it is that when you surrender, you're surrendering to his love. To his love. I want you to think about surrendering to Jesus and coming and placing yourself and just throwing yourself at his feet. And he picks you up and takes you in. And the Bible says, Jesus said, I'm going to keep you in my hands, in my arms. Well, no one would ever be able to snatch you from. No one can take you from my love. No one can separate me from you. It's amazing. You see, you know how people on the social media, so they like unfriend you. Or they block you. Or they just not follow you no more. Unfollow, whatever you call it. Or just simply like, bam, knock you out of their social media completely and erase you. You know, God will never unfollow you. God will never unfriend you. God cannot unlove you. How many of you believe that God loves you? You know he can't undo that. He can't. Because he is love. He can't do nothing but love you. He does not undo his love. He's not going to take it back like, I used to love you, Raul, but not no more. He's not going to do that to you, bro. He loves you. And the thing is that, you know, you could think that his love is growing more and more for you as you do the right thing and as you're more righteous, his love grows for you. No! His love doesn't grow because his love is perfect and complete from the get-go. He doesn't love you less. He doesn't love you more. He just loves you. Now, your spouse may be different. Your girlfriend or boyfriend may be different. They may be growing into love, right? Or not growing so much into love, right? Or out of love. You've heard that? I fell out of love. Have you ever heard that? Or I fell in love. People keep falling. I don't know why they keep falling. Fell out, fell in, whatever. See, but it is in his nature. He decided to love. He decided to give to the point of sending his son to the cross. And he can't undo that. Now you may say, or you may ask, you know, can I believe in such love? Does God really love me like that? Have you ever felt unworthy of his love? I know I have. And I know I still do. I feel so unworthy of his love. But that doesn't negate his truth that he loves me no matter what. Even when I fall, even when I sin, he still loves me. And I haven't seen him. John tells the people, you know what? You don't see him. But love the ones that you see because that's a start. But then you'll be able to love the one that you haven't seen and you will see him as he is because we will be like him. The promise that his love transforms us into his likeness. You know, listen to John in verse 14. He says, we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. John had seen Jesus. He had lived with Jesus. He had, you know, put his head on his chest and rested in Jesus. But then I want you to think of Thomas. We call him the doubter and we criticize Thomas, one of the disciples, that after Jesus was resurrected, he was like, I don't know about that. And Jesus shows up to Thomas and says, hey, it's me. And Jesus puts his hand on his wounds, on his scars. And what did Thomas say? Oh, my God. Oh, my Lord. My God and my Lord. And he didn't say that because he was like, oh, my God. No, he was looking at Jesus and says, my God and my Lord. Jesus. It's you. And you know what Jesus told Thomas at that moment? Blessed are you. You're blessed because you have seen and you believe. But more blessed will be the ones that without seeing, believe. Have you seen God? Maybe not. Do you believe him? I hope so, because he is real. You are blessed when you believe. The blessing is amazing. It's a blessing of forgiveness. It's a blessing of redemption. It falls on you when you trust him with your life and you love him back. It's just blessed. What does love do for us? What does it do? Let me tell you what love does for us. We experience his spirit, permanent presence in our lives. He promises, then I'll give you my spirit. My spirit will be abiding in you. In verse 12, it says, no one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides. He lives. He stays. And he perfects us in his love. Verse 13, by this we know that we abide in him and he in us because he has given us what? His spirit. He has given us. You did not find him. You did not seek God. You did not go after him. He came after you. Amen. Because he wasn't lost. You are the one who's been lost. And so have I. He came to find us. And before you can measure what you give to him, look at what he has given you. His own presence, himself to you, the Holy Spirit. Verse 15 says, whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. You can abide in him. He abides in you. You can dwell in him. You know, the word abide can mean, you know, living in or stay in, put in. But it also has a connotation that you can use it from the other angle and saying being kept in. And I believe God abides in us. He stays with us. We abide in him. He keeps us. The same word, go in both ways. Isn't love supposed to go both ways? Amen. See, this is amazing. We can live in love. If love abides in us, God is love. And if we open our hearts to him, then he lavishes us with this love. You know what lavishing means? In Ephesians chapter 1, he mentions that it means to overflow, overflow, overflow. I mean, it's like something that never ends. Wouldn't you like to experience God's permanent presence in your life? Romans chapter 8 and verse 38 and 39 says, for I am convinced that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor things present nor things to come nor powers, no height nor depth nor any created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing. I'd rather stay in there even though my flesh says get away. What else does it do for us? What love does for us is that his love perfects our faith in his unfailing love. You see, I can trust that he's not going to fail me. I just said it. Romans chapter 8, 38, 39. Nothing can separate us from his love. Not because I'm so clingy or not because I am so steadfast and so faithful to God, but because he is unfailing, because of his love. His love perfects our faith in his unfailing love. No one, verse 12, no one has seen God, but God abides in us. His love is perfected in us. Loving one another, basically. As the love of God is perfected in us, then we start loving like he does, and we love one another. You see his presence in us. It takes love to another level, right? Knowing his love takes it to another level. Experiencing his love, we are perfected. We're growing in that love. And becoming like him. Why would he want us to be perfected in his love? So that we can love like he loves. But he goes even further than that. In verse 17. By this love, love is perfected. By this love is perfected so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so also are we in this world. Did you know that we become like him in this world? It's a process. Yeah, I know. He's perfecting our faith as we trust him, knowing that his love never fails us. Of course, he will never leave us nor forsake us. So it casts all of our fears. Cast away all fears. Cast out all fears. Isn't that great? No more fear. We've been talking about the fear.
for the past few weeks, and I told you that we were going to end up in how love casts those fears. So don't talk about fears. Let's talk about love, right? Now, what happens when you know that someone loves you? You're assured. You know, knowing that someone loves you, then you know that they will not leave you, right? We're talking about God abiding in us. Do you trust your spouse? Do you trust your wife? Do you trust your husband? Why do you trust them? Because they've shown you they love you. So you have no fear that they're going to leave you. See, love casts all fears away. But he goes into a little bit further, because it's not just the love of God not leaving you, but God not punishing you. And we talked about that for the last couple of weeks. Fear God, for he is able not to take your life only on this earth, but to take your soul into hell. That's bad. But he is good. He is loving. So we can be perfected in that love. No more fear of condemnation, he says there, because his love cancels out, cast out all fears. But if you still fear condemnation, then you are a work in progress. I know many Christians. I know people who come to me and say, Pastor, I know that God loves me. I know that he has forgiven me. I know that he died for me. But sometimes I just feel like I'm going to mess it up and I'm going to end up going to hell. Why? Because you're trusting yourself. You're not trusting his love. Have you been forgiven? Yeah, but, oh, no buts. Don't bring no button there. Because there is no buts, no ifs, no ands. God loves you. And if you have believed in his love like that, and if you have entrusted your life and your soul to his care, then you should have no fear of being condemned or him leaving you. You can be assured in his love that he will not condemn you, because you have, check this out, you have been redeemed. That's past. It's already done. It is finished. You have been saved. Past. Done. You have been rescued. Past. Done. You have been saved. Amen? You have been. It's done. His love is unfailing. Like I said, 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 8. His love, it never fails. Now let's go to the last part. So now that we know where God, what love comes from and what love does, what do we do? What do we do? Simple. We simply love everyone that comes our way because he loved us first. That's what verse 19 through 21 said. We love because he first loved us. If he loves us and we are undeserving of this love, why should we withhold love from others? Why do you not love some people if you've been given all the love of God? Why? Who gave you authority to decide who to love and who not to? I know you do, because I do it too. There's some people I love dearly. There's some people I don't want to love. You see anyone around here that you don't want to love? Don't look. We do that. Oh my God, you know, I love Sister Adela. She's so kind, she's so nice, this sweet soul. But her son-in-law, I don't know if I love him the same way. Yeah, you, right? See, it's one of those things. I can love some people more than others. Do you do that? Oh, don't lie to me, you do. And some people that you actually don't love, and you say, I ain't loving that one. But love should change me. Love should change you. Who gives us the authority to choose who to love? Do you have that authority, Jay? To choose whom you love or not? No, you don't. You're like, yeah, right. But, you know, when God says that we have been born of him, we have been given his spirit, that we know him, that we have been made like him, made in the likeness of Christ, as in verse 17. So, you know, I'm supposed to love like him. And what did Jesus say? Love your brothers and sisters? Yeah, he said that. Even John says it at the end, in verse 21. He says, you know, this command you have been given. It's not a suggestion, it's a command. Love one another. Love your brothers. Now, of course, when he says brothers, he's meaning all your sisters and brothers in Christ, you know, the church. You're supposed to love the church. You're supposed to love the people in the church. That's cool. That's part of your obedience, and that's the way it should be. Our love for God is related to our obedience to Him. Remember, Jesus said, if you love me, obey my commandments. And what is the greatest commandment? Love God and love others as you love yourself. Wow. And this should not be burdensome, Jesus said. This is not something that I'm putting on you that you're like, oh, I gotta love AJ. No. I gotta love Luisito. No. That's even worse. You know, you think about that. God's love should enable us to be obedient and love like He loves. He loved us, undeserving sinners, without any hope whatsoever. He loved us first. We did not love Him. In fact, how could we love Him if we didn't even know Him? But now that we do, that He loved us first, therefore, we respond by doing the exact thing He does for us. When you love somebody, what do you expect back? Love. So if God has loved us, we need to love Him. But now we cannot express that except when we start loving one another. That's what He's saying. You want to start loving me? Start loving one another. Show it down now. So when you come up here, you'll be ready to love like that. You see, don't just love me. Love the people. Verse 20 says, if someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. Are you a liar? I know I lie sometimes. Ooh, yeah. If we say we love God and do not love one another, we're liars. Did you get that? That's hard. Love your brother. It starts with, now when he's saying love your brother, it doesn't mean your siblings. John starts with your brother and sister right here, your siblings, spiritual siblings, your brother and sister in Christ to start with. That means you need to love the church because we are the church, right? We are God's children. That's not the song I know. I changed the lyrics, right? But we are the church. We are God's children. We are, you're my brother. I'm your brother. You're my sister. And we need to love one another first. He's saying you need to love the people in the church. And not just this church, but all churches, right? Now, John is speaking to the church family because if we have the same spirit, then we should be able to love one another without any effort whatsoever, right? That's why, you know, you can love one another easily, right? Because you have the same spirit. You're like, oh, yeah, right. Wow. But I want you to think about this. You know what? This tells me that if we have a problem loving somebody in the family, in the church family, if you have a problem loving someone in the church family, you are the problem. Does that make sense? If I have a problem loving on Anthony, Anthony's not the problem. I have a problem. And the name of that is not Anthony. It's David. Because if I'm going to love like God, I have to love Anthony no matter what. I always joke around and say, you know, God said I have to love you, but He didn't say I have to like you, Tiffany. I may not like you, but I love you. Okay, babe? That's cool. All right? So we good? So even if you don't like me, you got to love me. You got no choice. That's the way it is. You see, but we need to grow into that love until we like Him. Amen? You see, this problem is bigger than we think. If I cannot love someone who is also a disciple of Christ, I have a problem, not them. So we need to pray to God to be able to love one another. I have to love because I need to be obedient. But in my obedience, my love should grow. I want you to think of this story as I close. A man meets a woman. She's not the best behaved person in the world. And even though they get married, she goes off. She becomes an adulterer, betrays his trust. And then he goes back and picks her up and brings her home. And she does it again. And this time he goes And he has to pay to get her back. Because she has been selling herself, or someone at least has. And he still brings her home. They have three kids. It's tough. But he has to love her, even if he doesn't like the deal. Could you do that? Would you do that? Some of you already know I'm familiar with the story. It's a story from the Bible, the book of Hosea. God tells Hosea, love that woman, marry her. Some say she was a prostitute. Some say she was just a woman that just battled with her desires, fleshly desires. Whatever it was, he takes her in. They have three kids and she betrays him. And then God says, go get her and go get her and go get her. No matter how many times she leaves you, you go pay for her and bring her home. And then God says, that's exactly what I have done and what I will do. That's exactly what I will do. And then he did. You and I, unfaithful, always to God, unfaithful. And God says, but I will take you with me. I'll take you for me, and I'll pay the price, and I will bring you home. Would you be willing to be purchased and taken and loved? That's what he wants to do with you. And if you have been already, would you love back? That's what love is all about.
Corinth Baptist Church, a church on the way to God's heart, presented a message for your life. If this message has been an impact to your life and you would like to listen to previous sermons or more information about our church, visit our website www.horevnola.com.